I'll be reading from the New International Version. The scripture this morning is from Matthew. The first scripture is Matthew 2, 1 through 12, and the second, Matthew 5, 13 to 16. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Politicians were lying way back then. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Chapter 5:13. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Thank you, God, for this servant that you bring to us and who has faithfully been with us these times. Pray that we will be receptive to her challenges and her instruction, and please inspire her to speak to us. Amen.
The other night, I was talking with some friends about the year 2000. And do you guys remember the Y2K scare? Anybody remember? Where everybody was telling us that the computers were going to take over the world because there was some sort of glitch because it wasn't ready for 2000 and planes were going to fall out of the air. And you guys probably don't remember this. But the rest of us, the rest of us do remember being told of all these terrible things that were going to happen when we hit the year 2000. And here we are 16 years later, and it's funny because I think anytime there's a new year, there's always this kind of reflection and push to think about what new things might emerge for us. But I think if we're honest, there's also a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of things that we wonder about. What are we going to face this year? What are we going to deal with this year? What's going to happen in our families this year? What sort of exciting things are going to occur, and what sort of sad things are going to occur? But regardless of whatever it is that you think about at the beginning of a new year, it's also, as Gail mentioned, it's also a great time to do some soul searching, to kind of look into our own lives and to ask how we will continue to pursue Jesus as individuals and as a community together. And so I just want to reflect a little bit on that today and ask a few questions for you to put in your pocket and to take home and to think about. Because I think it's important as a community of faith to spend that time asking questions of ourselves and looking for ways in which we can search for this Jesus in fresh and new ways. And the Gospel of Matthew actually starts us off well with this. It starts us off with this story of Jesus' birth, a very short story of Jesus' birth, and then we speak about the Magi. And one of the questions that this experience with the Magi offers to us, one of those questions is, how do you think Jesus will receive you in the new year? I know that seems like a little strange question, but how do you think Jesus will receive you? Last week, we celebrated how Jesus comes to us, how he moved into the neighborhood, essentially, and took on our flesh, and how he began his life here on earth. And Matthew moves us through a short nativity scene right into this story of these men, these magi, who see this star. And they're captivated by it. And they decide to pack everything up. And they're going to chase a star. They're going to leave everything behind. And they're going to follow this star because they've determined that it's an important star, that it belongs to someone who is important to their lives. And you've heard how the story goes. They first visit the king in the land named Herod, and he's very threatened by their visit. And then eventually they move on and they find Jesus. And they worship him, and they give him expensive gifts. And then they go home without telling King Herod where Jesus is. But there's more to the story than just that, because this story is about welcome. It's about acceptance. It's about us being included in the gospel and how we respond to that. Now, to understand this story, you have to think a little bit about who is hearing the story when it is being spoken for the first time. Matthew, like all the gospel writers, writes to a particular audience. And Matthew's audience is Jewish people, people who would have been familiar with the Old Testament. And Matthew's whole gospel is trying to convince these Jewish friends that Jesus is indeed who he says he is, that Jesus is indeed the one who was promised through the Hebrew Scriptures as the Messiah. And so we have to understand that this audience would have had its own biases and preferences, its own way of understanding the scriptures. And so from the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, he's trying to expand their biases. He's trying to change the way they view things. Sounds a lot like what God is continuing to do with us. And so, as you heard this story of the Magi, imagine that you were a Jewish man or woman listening to it. How would you react to what you had heard? You see, many of them were steeped in this understanding that the Messiah that was promised to them was coming for them and for them alone. Gentiles, non-Jewish people, were not included in their understanding of the scripture, but Matthew is stretching those boundaries of who is welcome and who is not. Right from the beginning of the gospel, he is stretching those prejudices and those biases. If you don't believe me, all we have to do is look back at chapter 1 in Matthew. Matthew starts out his gospel doing what a good Jewish scholar would do. He lists a genealogy. And all of us read that and say, boring, right? It doesn't seem really interesting to just kind of list a bunch of names of who begat who and who was son of who and all of that stuff. It doesn't make sense in our culture. But in this culture, that was a common practice because who you were related to said a great deal about who you were, about who your identity was.
And so Matthew starts with this good, strong Jewish practice of reciting the family name. But Matthew breaks the rules immediately because he doesn't just list men. That was the practice. It was the fathers and the grandfathers that were named. But in Matthew's genealogy, he lists four women. And those women were marred. Their stories were marred by all of these terrible circumstances in their lives. Incest and even murder were included in that. And it may seem boring to us to read chapter one, but Matthew is making a point. He's laying a foundation about what is coming next. He's making the case to his Jewish audience that there's something new that is beginning. And then right from that, we move into this Magi story. And I think we can imagine them in our nativity scenes wearing those royal robes and maybe riding a camel. I'm not sure what yours has. And we feel all warm and fuzzy when we see that. But the Jewish listeners to Matthew's story would not have felt warm and fuzzy. They would have paid attention to the fact that these people were not from their hometown, that they were foreigners, that they looked different and they talked different and they acted different and maybe they even worshiped a different god. They may have been suspicious of their accents and their weird clothes and their odd customs. See, Matthew's first readers would have been shocked at the Magi story. These strangers from a foreign land show up in our land and they worship our Messiah? And Matthew has his listeners right where he wants them, right where they need to be. And the rest of his gospel goes on to unravel long-held prejudices and to open up the kingdom to all people, not just the Jews. He would remind his readers that Jesus came for everyone, not just men, but women too, not just Jews, but non-Jews as well, not just the hometown folks, for people who were on the other side of the tracks, not just for those who were already convinced, but even for those who were struggling to believe. Matthew starts his gospel with this message: you are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome as you are. You are welcome when you are bruised and broken, when you feel small and insignificant. You are welcome when you are angry and in need. You are welcome when you are celebrating and rejoicing. You are welcome whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been. You are welcome. Right from the beginning, Jesus welcomes you to him. And he welcomes you so that he can fill you with his power and his grace and his blessing and turn you around so that you can go out and welcome someone else. There's a story in Spain that talks about a boy named Paco. And Paco was in a bad place. Paco was doing all sorts of terrible things in his family, and one day he ran away. And his father set out to find him, and he searched for months and months and months and could not find his son Paco. And finally, in a last desperate attempt to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper, and the ad read like this: "Dearest Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." Well, Saturday came about, and the father walked up to the newspaper office, and he saw a long line of about 800 Pacos. All of them showed up looking for their father. We all long to be welcomed. We all long to be embraced. Some of us struggle with this. Some of us struggle with this because we look at ourselves and we think, why in the world would anybody want to embrace me? We think we've got to get it all cleaned up first. We think we've got to prove ourselves first. But the gospel flies in the face of that and says, no, no, no. You, my Paco, you are welcome. And so the first question of this new year is, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus wants to welcome you, wants to embrace you, as you are, whoever you are. Because when we're embraced, it changes us. When we are truly embraced, when we truly belong, it makes us into different people. Have you ever been loved into being someone different? Do you believe that God welcomes you as you are? The gospel tells us that the Magi were welcomed, foreigners, strangers, odd customs, maybe even a different religion. They were welcomed into Jesus' home. And in that welcome, they responded by giving Jesus gifts, by worshiping him, by presenting him with these valuable gifts that they had. They responded with joy and with gratitude. And very often when you and I experience the full embrace of someone who sees us as we are and yet opens their arms to us and hugs us and welcomes us anyway, we too are filled with this desire to give something, to respond in some sort of way. And so let's think about that. How do we respond to the welcome of Jesus in 2016? I'm going to have Faye and Claire, could you pass out the stars? They're going to pass a couple bowls of stars. Just take one and hold on to it. Scripture tells us that the Magi saw a star where they lived and they were intrigued by it. And they decided it was important enough to leave everything behind and to follow that star, to find out what it was all about. And as I said, when they were welcomed into Jesus' home, they responded with gifts. So I want you to take that star. I want you to look at it, to hold on to it for a second, and to think about the way that Jesus welcomes you. To think about the way that Jesus embraces you as you are. And to perhaps think of one way that you will respond to him, that you will give him some sort of gift. I don't know what that is. I don't know what Jesus is calling you to give. What is one thing that you can give to him in 2016? What will be your gift to him as he embraces you? And as you think of what that is, I want to encourage you to come up, and there's a bowl right here. Just kind of drop your star in, kind of as a symbol of giving that, starting that process of giving that to Jesus. So feel free to come up as you think of your gift. You don't need to say what your gift is. Just put it in the bowl. Okay, can you guys pass out the bulbs? Take a look around you. Look at the faces of those in this room. Part of our response to being welcomed by Jesus is to learn to welcome each other. To learn to welcome others in our lives. I think you said so beautifully about gathering together as a community and being so thankful for the friends that are in this room that help us to do life. Sometimes that's hard, though, isn't it? Sometimes we have disagreements in a family, in a community. Sometimes we have challenging conversations. In 2016, Mountain Community is going to begin those conversations about what is next for us and what are the visions that God has for us? What is the life that God is giving to us? What does that look like? How do we become a more missional community? How do we become a community that continues to follow Jesus, to pursue him? And those are really exciting conversations. Those are wonderful conversations, but sometimes we can disagree with each other. Am I right? Sometimes we don't see eye to eye in those sorts of conversations. And so I think part of learning to welcome, to respond to the welcome of Jesus is to respond to the welcome toward other people. So think for a second about how you might actually welcome someone in this room. Not just with a handshake on a Sunday morning, but how might you open up your life to someone in this room so that you can shine a light to them? Jesus says you're the light of the world. Who is Jesus laying on your heart this year, 2016? You need to embrace someone in your faith community. Just think about who that person is, and then spread it, let's expand it a little more. Think about your life. Think about your neighborhood or your workplace or your school or maybe where you volunteer or do your grocery shopping. Is there someone that you see on a regular basis that God has deliberately put in your path over and over and over again who needs to experience that sort of welcome and embrace as well? Maybe it's the cashier at the grocery store. Maybe you go at the same time every day and you go to the same line and it's the same cashier and you know her name, but you don't know anything about her. Maybe it's the person who jogs by you in your morning workout and you see him every single day. Maybe it's the next door neighbor. Who in your life has God put in your path? And he's calling you this year to extend yourself, to open your arms, to give them a taste of the light of the world that is alive in you and in me. Are you thinking of a name? If you're thinking of a name, go ahead and come up and put your bulb, your light bulb, into this jar. Just as kind of the beginning of that commitment to welcome someone in your neighborhood. Come on up when you're ready. Faye, you guys do the salt.
Salt.
Salt. And finally, I'm going to pass salt shakers around. Just take a tiny little bit on your hand, just enough for a taste. Don't, like, eat it for lunch, just enough for a taste. I want to encourage you to expand your thoughts even bigger and to think actually globally, to think in a bigger way than just yourself or your faith community or your neighborhood, but to think bigger than that. Because the reality is Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus wants to welcome everyone, that Jesus wants to include everyone in this movement that he is doing in the world. And so Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth. You and I are the salt of the earth. Salt in Jesus' time was greatly valued. The Greeks believed that salt was divine, actually, and it served two functions primarily in Jesus' time. It gave taste to food, like it does here, and it preserved food People would preserve their food in salt. But today, we use it in other ways, too. Sometimes we clean things with salt, or we process foods with salt. We depress freezing points with salt. We keep ants away with salt. We test eggs. We cause water to boil, and so on and so forth. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, think about all of what it does. Think about all those jobs. If your task, if my task is to be salt, then how are we doing at that? How are we doing at preserving and reconciling and adding spice and flavor and meaning to people's lives? To be the salt of the earth means we are concerned about the well-being of other people. To be concerned about what is happening in our world. And I know that that can seem really big, that can seem really overwhelming, but imagine what happens when a group of people get together and they're concerned even just about one thing that is happening in the world. Way, way, way back when I was a youth pastor, I used to tell my kids this: you are the salt of the earth, so shake it up a little. Shake it up a little. Mountain Community, you are the salt of the earth, so get shaken on it. Shake it up a little bit. And you're singing Taylor Swift. Good call. And so I invite you to take that little, those little grains of salt, and if you can balance it in your hands, just come up and dump that into the bowl. As you think about how, as a community, you might be able to be the salt of the earth in 2016, come on up. God gives us new beginnings all the time, and I think that's a wonderful gift. And so I want to encourage our church, to encourage this congregation to really reflect on this as we move into these conversations about vision and mission and our identity together. To think in your own life about what it means to be light and salt in 2016. To think about what it means to allow yourself to be fully embraced by this God who loves you just as you are, not as you should be. God who loves you and embraces you and welcomes you so that you might have the ability to embrace others. I want to encourage you to wrap everything in that posture, in that sense of being completely welcomed by Him. I want to encourage us as we move into these conversations that will be exciting and sometimes challenging to keep this in mind, that our response to Jesus' love is about giving ourselves in such a way that others might experience His welcome. And so my prayer for you as we move into 2016 is that this year would be a year of welcome and vitality in all of our lives and in our life together, a year of vibrancy and grace to each other, a year that is so full of seeing Jesus' embrace over and over and over again in each other's faces and in the faces of those who are outside of this room. The incarnation tells us that Jesus comes to us and He comes to love us. He comes to rescue us from ourselves. And when we receive that, when we receive that embrace, we are set free. We are set free to open our arms to whatever it is that God would have for us and to embrace that as well. Let's pray. Lord, as your people have reflected on how it is that you might be calling them. As we've reflected together on how it is that you might be calling us into this new year, we ask, God, that you might continually meet us and remind us that all is forgiven. You love us. That you would continue to meet us so that we might be filled with the chance to be expanded, to embrace anyone that you might put in our path. That you would help us to let go of the things that we are holding on to, the grudges, the unforgiveness, the agendas, the wanting things my way. And instead, open our hands to whatever it is that you might give us. And I know it's mysterious. I know we don't know what's ahead. But Lord, we want to be salt and light wherever you put us. And so we pray your blessing over this community, this church, these people, that they might become that they might continue to pursue that together with you. Help us to respond to your welcome, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.